Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, or we will try to rejoice. Amen. Welcome to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, and we're happy to be here today. We are going to talk about hell. Now, I know some people, they don't believe in hell anymore. They don't want to talk about hell in churches because they don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. Some people won't even bring up the subject. They don't want to have altar calls. They don't offer any opportunities for people to repent of their sins. You notice that most of these churches that you see today, especially when you see them on television, you wouldn't even know it was a church. It looks like a nightclub, or there's the pastor on a big screen TV, and there's nothing there that would make you think that this is a church or it has anything to do with Christianity. Oh, God forbid that there should be some kind of a Christian symbol there. Some people don't even hold a Bible anymore. You see that. They don't hold their Bibles. You know, they have a notebook or a iPad or something like that. So it's getting pretty strange out there. And of course, we have a group of people. Now, not many people are really familiar with this, I'm sure, but they have a group of people called Universalists. And a Universalist, or a person, also, they call it ultimate reconciliation, and they believe there is no hell. They also believe that everyone ultimately will be reconciled to God, even people like Hitler, Mussolini, some of the worst of the worst. They believe that everyone is saved, whether they confess Jesus Christ or not. And also, when I was doing some research about these groups, I noticed that they have a website where they list some people that they claim are interested in their teachings. And one of the people that they had on the website was William Hinn, who's Benny Hinn's brother, and he has a church in California. Now, I found that odd, but there's also a website about Universalism, and I think it's called The Universalist. I thought I pulled it up, but I'll get it for you later. And if you look at some of these churches now, they used to have a list, quite an extensive list of churches on a website about ultimate reconciliation, but they took it down, and now you can only access it with a password because they don't want you to know who they are. Now, what's the big secret? So, because they would have, you wouldn't know it if you were new in town and you were looking for a church and you looked in the phone book and you would think, okay, Word of Life Church or Fountain of Life or whatever. You would think, Oh, well, this sounds like a good church. So you would have no idea that you were going to a church where they didn't believe in hell. They didn't believe, they believed everyone was going to heaven, whether or not they were born again. So it's always good to know when you go to church what people believe. Because you might get there and it seems like they're teaching the Bible, and then all of a sudden they come up with these strange doctrines, and sometimes it's hard to get out of these places. I know that I was in a church one time way back when I first got saved. I think one of the third or fourth churches I ever went to, and the pastor and his wife, they were into the shepherding thing. So they wanted you to ask them, before you did anything, you had to ask their permission. If you wanted to have a little Bible study at your house, or maybe if you were going to buy a new car or whatever, you needed to go ask your pastor's permission and to get their counseling. And many churches do this today, even I guess in 1995 or so. When I was going to a church, they had us sign, in order to be a member, you had to sign a tithing covenant with them. And you also had to take this class where you were taught the authority of the pastor, and you had to submit to the pastor and to his authority and to his vision. And, well, after a few years there at this church, of course, I turned in my membership and I didn't want anything more to do with it. But because I realized the pastor, he was flaky too. He was a human being that had flaws. And I knew that he wasn't going to be in my house 24 hours a day watching me to watch everything that I did. He's not in your house. Your pastor's not in your house 24 hours a day unless he has a video camera hooked up. Maybe someday one of these churches will start doing that so they can watch everything you do. And so I came to realize that if I couldn't answer to God, if I wasn't afraid of God watching me, I wasn't afraid of obeying God, then really, what could the pastor do? When you think about it, and you think about some of these false prophets and false teachers, and they go to church and they have pastors, do their pastors correct them about their false teachings and the false gospel that they preach? No, their pastors don't say anything to them, especially if they're big givers, because they're not going to rock the boat over there. And so the Bible says that the only covering that we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our covering. We answer to the Lord. It's okay for our friends to correct us if they see we're going off somehow. But if we're born again, then the Holy Spirit should do a pretty good job of convicting us. We should still have that conscience and to be convicted of sin. But I wanted to give you also a quick update about Kim Clement. And for many of you that know about this man, and you can go to his website, and if you go to his website, I don't know if it's kimclement.org or something like that, but if you go to his website, you'll see that I think he's got a section there with what we believe. And in that section, he says that you don't have to be born again. So this is one of the many things that he believes and he taught, which were way out, very way out. And also, he calls his church, he calls it the Den. Now, what? Who calls their church the Den? That's very weird, isn't it? And it's a very strange place, this place there. And this man was very strange and taught, really, he didn't teach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. People saw him many times on TBN and on other gospel programs. And, you know, he is a good musician, so, and he has other good musicians in his band. So I guess people were drawn to his music, and then he calls himself a prophet. So most people, they want to get a word when they go to church, and they and like this Brian Karn guy, I saw him the other day. He tells people their address. Well, I already know my address, so I already know my name, so I don't need you to tell me my address, and I don't need to tell you my name because I already know that. And so, anyway, Kim Clement, I guess it was Labor Day, he had a stroke, and he wound up in the hospital and had to have brain surgery for a brain bleed. And then he started recovering, and they were saying he's coming back, he's going to be better than ever, and nobody was really saying anything about Kim's really examining himself, and he's repenting, and he's asked the Lord to forgive him of his heresies and his and misleading people. And so anyway, then again on, I think, Thanksgiving Day, somewhere around there, he had another stroke and another brain bleed. They had to rush him to the hospital. So according to his wife, which she just posted a video there on their website, and she said that he is in a wheelchair. He's home now, but he's in a wheelchair. He can't really walk that good, and he can't really talk that good. So she put some pictures up of him, and he does look like he's in awful shape, I must say. But usually, like I was saying last week, even about Rod Parsley, and with Rod Parsley now, I noticed that he hasn't repented either. I haven't heard anything from Rod about repenting for his heresies and for him misleading the body of Christ. But I noticed something very strange on Sunday when I was looking at their service. They had they were going to have a little birthday celebration for Rod, and his birthday was actually Wednesday, which they do have a Wednesday night service. So anyway, Sunday morning they're having a little birthday celebration for him, and I noticed that his wife's not there. Well, where's his wife? It's his birthday. His wife's not there. His daughter's not there. Where's his daughter? It's his birthday. His son's not there. Well, wait a minute. His mother was there. Yeah, his mother was there. Okay, his daughter was there Sunday morning. Yeah, his mother and his daughter were there Sunday morning, but not his wife. No, his wife wasn't there. So then they said, well, Wednesday night, because it's really his birthday, then we'll have something Wednesday. But Wednesday night, nobody showed up there. Rod Parsley didn't show up. His mother didn't show up. His wife didn't show up. His daughter didn't show up. His son didn't show up. Nobody came. So there's something strange going on there. You would think that when you're pastoring a church and they call your family the first family, that at least the first family can show up for church, because I think it was snowing. Either it was Sunday or Wednesday when it was snowing and the roads were icy and people came to church, but the first family didn't come. No, they weren't there. So something very strange going on over there at World Harvest, but I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at all. So today I'm going to play a couple clips from Kenneth Hagin. Now, Kenneth Hagin was a very strange man, I must say, very strange. When I was in the Word of Faith movement, and I followed the Word of Faith teachers for the first 15 years of my salvation up until about 1995 or so, and then I didn't want anything more to do with it. I came in contact with a video done by the Paw Creek Ministries, and that's Joseph Chambers. You can go to his website. He's still got this video available, and it's called Kenneth Hagin, the Spirit of the Serpent, and it shows video clips of Kenneth Hagin. And at the time, he was probably in his late 70s when this was made, but he's sticking out his tongue like a snake, and the people look like they're hypnotized, really. They really do. They start slithering down in their chairs and slithering on the floor, and women are falling on the floor, and men are falling on top of them, and it's very, very strange. Kenneth Copeland is there, and Kenneth Copeland starts acting like a fool. He falls under the spell, too. And I think actually the video might even be up on the internet, but you can look for it. It's called Kenneth Hagin, the Spirit of the Serpent, and it's by Paw Creek, and that's P-A-W. Paw Creek Ministries, Joseph Chambers, but it's very, very well done, informative video. But I also mentioned last week about Dodie Osteen, because I had seen a clip of her a while back, and they were asking her about the Joel's Church anyway, that why don't they tell people about hell? And she said, well, we don't want to make people uncomfortable. We want them to come. And we just don't want to do that. We want everyone to feel welcome here. And we want to say good things and positive things. So I found this quote here also from John Osteen. And he's saying that, we always blame the devil. I think today when I say the enemy, I like to make it broader. Sometimes the enemy can be our own thoughts. We've trained ourselves the wrong way, or the enemy can be our lack of discipline. Some people preach about hell like you're already going there. And to me, the gospel means good news. I'd rather say God is a God of mercy. So I think the people already know what they're doing wrong, and I certainly believe in hell. But to me, when I see thousands of people before me, it just doesn't come out of me to say, you guys are terrible, and you're going to hell. I'd rather say that God is a God of mercy. You've got to live an obedient life, but for every mistake you've made, there's mercy there, and I believe we can do better. Well, the fact that the word hell is in the Bible now, in some of the modern translations of the Bible, the word isn't there. They take it out. So it might not be there. They might substitute it with another word. For instance, like the word, I think, Hades, and then there's some other words where the word Hades does not appear in the King James Version. And also, if you look, if you have a good program that you might use on the internet, you can look up some of these things where you see that. And many of the new modern translations, they've eliminated the word hell and replaced it. So, of course, people that are being fed only if they only have that type of a Bible. So that's what they're going to believe. So if the word's not in there, they're going to say, well, there is no hell if it's not in the Bible. But some of the modern translations. Now, I don't get into big theological arguments with people over Bible translations, but I don't like it when they take words out. And many of the new translations of the Bible are copyrighted, so they make these new versions so they can sell Bibles, and they copyright them, and there's a reason for that. So, which I'm not against people copyrighting their material, but it's all about selling Bibles in most cases. So when they take words out, and important words like the word hell, that's an important word. So I don't think they should take it out of the Bible. And a lot of these people that teach universalism and ultimate reconciliation, well, they say things like that. Well, the word's not in there. And when they talk about, there was one lady that wrote a book about the lake of fire, and she says that, and I've got some quotes here from her. She says, "Once again, we see the flames fire are a people who proclaim and display what they have become in his life. They are a manifested Christ people." She says that the lake of fire and the flames of fire are really God's people who have manifested themselves to be Christ people. Now, this was a woman who had a program on Christian television. This woman did. She's not on anymore, thank God. The Lord took her off. But this is what she was teaching. And here's another quote from her. "Here, Jesus clearly tells us that when Adam sinned, the fire of God no longer was the true light of man. And his purpose for coming to earth was to restore the fire of God to mankind." Oh, dear. So, now that's amazing, right? That's amazing. But my Bible doesn't say anything like that about the lake of fire. Or I'm going to read some scriptures. Let me play a couple of these clips here, and then I'll get some scriptures about the lake of fire. But let's listen to now Kenneth Hagin. See, Kenneth Hagin, he claims that he went to hell. He went to hell. He says that, and he's got a little booklet that says, "I went to hell." And he claims that he went to hell three times, that he died, and he went to hell three times, but he came back. Each time he went to the gates, he came back. And I didn't know anybody, I didn't know that the Bible taught that you can go to hell and come back. So I don't believe those testimonies. I do not believe anybody's testimony about dying and going to hell and coming back, or even going to hell for, you know, Jesus takes these people. They say they go on these little excursions to hell so they can tell you about it. I don't believe that. No, I do not believe that. The Bible doesn't teach that. So if the Bible doesn't teach it, then we shouldn't believe it. No, there's many people that have written books, and then they have videos, and they're going to tell you about hell. If I want to know about the eternal torments of hell and the lake of fire, then I can read it in my Bible, and if it doesn't agree with my Bible, I don't care what you say. It's just like Roberts Lairdon. Roberts Lairdon wrote a book called I Saw Heaven. And he claims that he went to heaven when he was 12 or 14 or whatever. He went there and he was playing with Jesus in the river of life. And he saw rooms full of body parts for people that needed body parts. And he had a fabulous story about his time in heaven. And then Years later, Robert Slaydon was pastoring a church in California. I had a good-sized church and had a Bible college and a worldwide ministry. And he was sleeping with his youth pastor, who was a man. They were sleeping together and living together in the same house. And he got caught, and he lost his ministry, but he's back now. But so don't tell me that he went to heaven and he saw Jesus and he was talking to Jesus and he was playing with Jesus in the river of life, and then he went to bed with his youth pastor. And I don't think so. Okay, something wrong there. So it doesn't line up. Nobody that has come face to face with Jesus Christ is going to wind up in homosexuality. That's just not going to happen. So I do not believe his testimony or anybody else's testimony about taking trips to heaven. The only trip you're going to take to heaven is after you die. Hopefully, if you're born again and you repented of your sins, then you're going there. Otherwise, you're not going there.
But I was born again on the 22nd day of April, 1933, on a Saturday night, in the south bedroom, 405 North College Street, at 20 minutes till 8 o'clock. I know I was there. At 7:30, my heart stopped beating. I leaped out of my body like a diver leaping off of a diving board, began to descend down, 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 until I looked up and the lights of the earth faded away and darkness encompassed me around about. I came down to the very gates of hell. And a creature took me by the arm to escort me in. I didn't know till years later I read in Isaiah that he said, hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee. But thank God there was a voice that spoke. I don't know what he said, because it wasn't in English. When that voice spoke, that whole, all of it just shook like there's an earthquake on. And it's like an irresistible pull or a magnet just pulled me back, and I floated back away from the gates of hell. Then I came up. I came up on the porch outside the south bedroom. I saw the giant trees in the yard. I came right through the wall and leaped inside my body through my mouth, like a man would slip his foot inside of his boot in the morning time. And I said to my grandmother, who held me in her arms, Granny, I'm going again. And I don't think I'll be back. And I left word with my mother, and I'll go into it. I left word with all the folks. And my heart stopped again. And I leaped out of my body and descended. And then, thank God, that voice spoke, and I came out of that place. This time I came up at the foot of the bed. And then I said, Granny, I'm going again. We say in the world, a third time's charm. And I won't be back. She said, son, I thought you weren't coming back that time. I left a word for my grandfather. My heart stopped. I leaped out of my body. I descended till I came again to the very gates of hell. Thank God that voice spoke, whatever he said. And an irresistible pull pulled me back away from the gates of hell. And then up until this time I came up beside the bed. But as I came up out of that place through the darkness, the Bible talks about being cast into the outer darkness, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Darkness that's darker, you couldn't see your hand, it was 1 inch in front of your face. And when I came through that darkness, I cried out, because up till now I think this is an hallucination. Can't be true. But in the darkness, I cried out, God, I belong to the church. I've been baptized in water. I'm trying to tell him I'm going the wrong direction. But there's no answer. I cried again a little louder, God, I belong to the church. I've been baptized in water. No answer. I cried out the third time, and if I could do it the way I did it there, it would almost scare you out of your seat. God, God, screamed, I've been baptized in water. I believe in being baptized in water. I believe in joining the church. But after you're born again, and I'll tell you, I began to pray, coming out of the darkness. I began to pray, ask the Lord to forgive me and save me. Thank God he did. I said he did. I came back inside my body, and my mouth physically picked up my prayer in the middle of a sentence. This time I prayed out of my mouth, but I'm still praying out of my spirit, the inward man. And the peace of God. It seemed to me like a 2,000-pound weight rolled off of my chest. Now I don't care whether I die or not. Praise God, I'm happy. Hallelujah.
Now, that sounds like a good tale, doesn't it? But that can't happen. That can't happen. You don't die and go to hell, go to the gates of hell, because he claims he's dead. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. So he claims he got three chances. And then on his third chance, when he goes down to the gate, he gets born again, and then he comes back into his body, and he's still praying. Now, that's a wild story, and it's not true. It didn't happen. If we examine the teachings of Kenneth Hagin, and it would make a good series of programs, I guarantee you, because there was an excellent book written by D.R. McConnell called A Different Gospel, and I recommend that book highly. He did a master's thesis when he was at Oral Roberts University on the cultic origins of the Kenneth Hagin teachings and the teachings of E.W. Kenyon. He goes into the fact and presents his case, and the case is well documented, and you can't deny the evidence that E.W. Kenyon had attended a New Thought school, which is back in the late 1800s or early 1900s, which was similar to Christian Science and the whole mind sciences, and a person named Phineas Quimby. And so he was actually trained in that thought, E.W. Kenyon. And then later, a lot of these Word of Faith teachers picked up the teachings of E.W. Kenyon. And Kenneth Hagin actually plagiarized Kenyon. And if you get a hold of this book, it is for sale on the internet. I've seen it. You'll see the comparisons that how Hagin had copied almost word for word from Kenyon for some of his books that he wrote. And, of course, he denied it, but the evidence is there because they take the quotes from the Kenyon books and then they take the quotes from the Hagin books, and some of them are just exactly the same. So there's no way you can write word for word and you didn't copy it from somebody. That's just not true. But if Kenneth Hagin would lie about going to hell and coming back, then I think he would lie just about anything. But Matthew 23:15, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Matthew 23:33, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? And, you know, Kenneth Hagin never repented of his heresies. before he died. I never heard him repent. He had many, many books. I had probably, 100 of his books. I bought almost every book he ever wrote and read them, and he has these fantastic stories about having visits with Jesus. He claims he had 6 or 7 personal visits with Jesus and talked to Jesus, and I think the book is I Believe in Visions, but it's a fantastic story. This man could really tell a story, as you'll see when you listen to the next clip, but really none of it was true. None of it was true. It was fiction. It just doesn't line up with the Word of God. Here's another Hagen audio.
The story of Kenneth Hagen's near-death experience is spectacular. In April of 1933, Hagen was bedridden. He had been ill with a deformed heart from birth. On the evening of the 22nd, he took a turn for the worse. His family stayed by his side and waited for the arrival of the doctor. Suddenly a pain shot through his heart like lightning. He was convinced he was living his last few moments. He states, "My toes seemed to go numb. This numbness spread to my feet, my ankles, my knees, my hips, my stomach, my heart, and I leaped out of my body. I knew I was outside of my body. I could see my family in the room, but I couldn't contact them." As he tried to communicate with his family members, he felt himself leaving the room and falling into what seemed to be a downward well or cavern. Hagen claims that as he descended, he could see the lights of Earth fading away and was eventually covered by darkness. When he came to the bottom of the cavern, he was surrounded by giant orange flames. He saw what he believed to have been the gates of hell. He says he was physically drawn to those gates like a magnet, though he tried to stop himself. "I was conscious of the fact that some kind of creature met me at the bottom of that pit. I didn't look at it. My gaze was riveted on the gates. As the creature grabbed Hagen, a thunderous voice spoke. The creature immediately released Hagen, and he felt himself pulled towards the light."
Granny. You're back.
Granny, I'm going again.
No. Hang on.
Where's Mom? I want to tell her goodbye.
When I thought your mommy, you were gone. She ran out the door.
I've got to tell Mama goodbye.
Lily!
Granny, don't go.
Hagen states this event occurred 3 times. The third time, he thought he may have been hallucinating the entire experience. But as the darkness surrounded him, he was convinced that this hellish place was real. Hagen tells of calling out into the darkness, "God, I belong to the church. I've been baptized in water." Once again, he was at the bottom of the pit, faced with the gates and the unknown creature. But again, just like the 2 times before, he heard the voice. I don't know what he said, but whatever he said, that place shook. It just trembled. Hagen remembers praying as he ascended towards earth. "Oh God, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I want you to know it was like a 2-ton weight lifted off my chest." Dr. Kenneth Hagen eventually recovered from his heart condition. He is known internationally as the founder and president of Rhema Bible School.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Unbelievable. It says in that clip that he thought he was hallucinating. Yeah, he was hallucinating. Yeah, he was hallucinating because it didn't happen. Revelation 20 says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they that were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So that's what the Bible says. And that's what the truth is, that if we are born again, our name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And we will see him again. We will not suffer the eternal separation from God, which has to be the worst thing, I think, for anybody, that, especially people that have heard the gospel and they would not repent of their sins and they would not recognize Jesus Christ as their Savior. Imagine you're dead and then you realize that you're going to be alive. You're going to have eternal life one way or the other, either in heaven or in hell. But you are separated from God forever. And it's too late then. You don't get a chance to go to hell and come back. That just doesn't happen. So that is not a Christian doctrine. But we know that Kenneth Hagin was considered to be the father of the Word of Faith movement. And many people still hold on to his teachings today. And they still have a church there in Tulsa, which is pastored by his son, because Kenneth Hagin has passed away. And his son pastors the church there, and they still have the Rhema Bible College, which was at one time, that was the place to go. If you were going to be in the ministry, you wanted to go to Rhema. So here's some good news, Revelation chapter 21. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. We are the tabernacle. Amen. We are the church. The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Oh, hallelujah. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Oh, amen. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Oof. Awful, isn't it? Awful. I think that's why we have to be so diligent and vigilant to preach the gospel, don't we want to share the good news of what Jesus Christ has done for us? And it's my firm belief that we don't need $1 million. I don't need $1 million a year to do what I'm doing. And I don't need a jet plane or all I need is a mouth. That's all I need. I need to be able to talk. And that's what you need. So most of us, when we go to church, if you go to a building, you may never get the opportunity to open your mouth. And in a lot of these churches, they don't want you to really have any kind of ministry outside the church. But we're all called to the ministry of reconciliation. We all have a job to do, to share our testimony with the unsaved, to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't cost anything. What's better? Most of us, that's the way we got saved. That's the way I got saved, is when somebody told me the good news that I met. I met someone, and they told me the good news of the gospel. I wasn't in church. And that's how I got saved. And I'm sure somebody told you. I think if we took a survey, we would find that most people came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ by somebody else telling them. It wasn't, and people do get saved, even watching these goofy, some of these goofy so-called Christian networks, and going to some of these church buildings where they might tell people the good news. But all of us can do something for the Lord. And that's why these TV ministries, and they keep telling you that they need all these millions of dollars to do what they're doing. They don't. They need, most of them need the millions of dollars to pay their debts, because they're so heavily in debt from being on television, which can cost up to $10,000 for one half-hour program. So you can imagine what that comes out to. And then they need money to maintain their mansions and their jets and whatever else they're doing. So don't let these people fool you. And if we all did something for the Lord, we wouldn't have so many of these scam artists that they like to tell you, well, send me some money and I'll take your place. Look, you don't have to be uncomfortable. You don't have to preach the gospel to anybody. You don't have to be a Christian testimony. I will do it for you. Well, forget about it, okay? There is a need for missionary work, and there is a need for all different types of ministries. I do believe that, and I do believe that people should support people that are in ministry, if you so choose, that's your decision, and nobody should beat you over the head to do it, but everybody should try to do something, and I think we'd be in a lot better shape than we're in today, because we have people that really don't want to share the gospel anymore with people, because maybe they're afraid they won't like you, or, you know, a lot of your family members aren't going to like you. You know that, right? Because, and Jesus even said it, that your house is going to be divided. Your mother will turn against daughter, and daughter will turn against mother, and brother will turn against sister. And you're going to see all that, especially if you take a stand for Christ. But we have to remember that their eternal destiny hangs in the balance. So we have to tell them the truth, because we know the truth. We know the truth. We know what Jesus did for us. Nobody can take that away from us. Nobody can take that away. No matter what happens, nothing is going to separate me from the love of God. Nothing. And nothing should separate you from the love of God either. But I just want to play, I have a couple more clips. I wanted to play this clip I got from a Catholic man. And I thought it was interesting because, you know, the Catholics believe in purgatory. And they like to tell you they really don't believe in purgatory anymore, but they do. And but it kind of falls in line with the universalist teaching about there not being any hell and an ultimate reconciliation. And it really is a form of New Age witchcraft, this teaching on purgatory, because it's like the New Agers will teach you that you get a second time around where you can be reincarnated, that if you don't do it right the first time, you get another chance even after you're dead. And that's basically this Catholic doctrine of purgatory, is that if you don't get it right on the earth, that after you're dead, you can go to this place of purification, which is called purgatory. So here is this man talking about it.
I know, unfortunately, the world capitalism is purgatory. And we have a lot of influence from Protestants, people that listen to all these TV evangelists, and they are so contaminated with the amazing belief that Jesus saved us already, his blood covered us, and he paid for us. So we love to suffer.
I don't think that was the right clip. It sounds a little garbled. Let's try this one.
I know, unfortunately, a lot of Catholics don't believe in purgatory. And we have a lot of influence from Protestants, people that listen to all these TV evangelists and get, are so contaminated with these amazing beliefs that Jesus saved us already. His blood covered us and he paid for us. So we're not to suffer, and we are not to go to purgatory. So that is not true. One of the reasons I am talking about purgatory today is because I am testifying to something that I didn't read in a book. It's nothing that I was taught by anybody. This is something that I've been through myself. The Lord, in his amazing, mysterious way of doing his pedagogy with us, the souls, he took me to this. And he put me through this, and I can testify to what I have been through. I have seen, and I have lived purgatory. And I testify to that with my life. With my life, I do. Because I don't want any of you to go to purgatory. I don't want any of you to go to hell. No one. And God doesn't want any single soul to be wasted. That's why I'm here, testifying to this with my life. Because this is nothing I read. It's something I've been through. And I can tell you this, the church and the fathers of the church, the mystics of the church, have amazing amount of information given to us about purgatory, hundreds of pages. But it's so sad that a lot of Catholics today, they have any single book about Bill Graham, Benny Hill, all kind of preachers all over the world, but they have no books on the mystics of the church. And it's very sad. And you know why? Because of that little tube that is in the living room. You know, because of TV. So I'm talking about going back into the very heart of the church. And I'm not putting down any other church or putting down any other believer in Christ. Don't take me wrong. I am talking about being a Catholic. We have to be what we are called to be. One of the things the Lord taught me about my faith is you have to be and live up to what you were given. So we have to be a real Catholic. How can you be a real Catholic? Study your faith. Learn the catechism. Study the mystics of the church before you go and talk to your neighbor. Because you know what happened? When you go out and dwell, listening to all these teachers of Christ outside the Catholic Church, they're going to get you to the wrong places. You know why? Because you don't know your faith. And that's why so many people are taken away from the church. Because they are so impressed with these amazing preachers that can quote you the Bible by the seconds. You know, they tell you two words, and they say John 17:4, and this and the other, and every second. And people are really impressed with that. But I tell you something, when you hear the three temptations of Christ, you hear the devil quoting the scriptures to Jesus. He knows them by heart too. So don't be impressed. notes before I give a talk or in any subject. The Lord gave me this. So we don't need to go and be so sophisticated about learning anything. We have to love the Lord and let Him do it. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to study. I'm not saying that it's wrong to be a theologian and to go through the studies of the church. It's not that. But I'm saying it's not about being impressed with learning and with the great wisdom we achieve by studying. It's by being impressed on how much are you giving yourself to the Lord. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to come and do it and do the job. And you never have to worry about what you're going to say. That is the promise of the Lord. And it's something that I'm a witness to. Because I stand here, I didn't think for a second what I was going to tell you. I knew I was called to speak about purgatory. I'm going to do the best I can to be an instrument of the Lord.
He's going to do the best he can to be an instrument of the Lord. But it something that he said, and it's so similar to some of the things that the false teachers and the false prophets tell you, is don't think. Just turn off your mind. When you come here, turn off your mind and don't try to figure things out. And he's basically telling people the same thing. He's telling them, don't read your Bible. Don't just accept what the Bible says or somebody quoting scriptures to you. You have to have the other book, which is the Catholic Catechism. So when anybody is offering you another book, like the Book of Mormon or the Seventh-day Adventists have their book and these different cults, they have another book besides the Bible. And he's telling them, you have to believe the Catholic faith no matter what anybody else tells you. Even if people are standing there and quoting scripture, you have to believe there is a purgatory. So there's no purgatory. You don't get a second chance after you're dead. It is appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. You don't get two chances. Anyway, the website I was talking about before is called, about universalism, is called thechristianuniversalist.org. And their headline here is All Dodge Children, No One Left Behind. I think on this website they do have list of their churches for people to see, because like I said, you wouldn't know that they were universalists by the names of their churches. And I think that they do have I don't know if this is the one where they have the William Hinn, Benny Hinn's brother, on there. See, it looks like they took some of their churches down. They used to have quite an extensive list, but I'm looking here now, and it looks like they took some of them down. Yeah. But anyway, you can get a little bit of an idea. Also, Jim Baker's son has become a universalist. He no longer teaches or believes in hell. Jamie Baker. And so if you hear somebody talking like that, then you know that these people are false prophets and false teachers. And but this is a teaching that is becoming more and more acceptable. Because they don't, and a lot of these churches, they call them seeker-friendly churches. When you go there, they want you to feel good. They don't want you to feel any kind of condemnation. But we should feel condemnation when we're in sin, and we should know that we're doing the wrong thing. And doesn't the Bible, like when you read the Bible, doesn't God tell you you're doing the wrong thing? Doesn't he tell you not to practice fornication? Doesn't he tell you not to commit adultery? Doesn't he tell you not to steal? Doesn't he tell you not to covet? So, in other words, we might as well not even read our Bibles, because it's going to make us feel uncomfortable. And that's what these guys are being paid to do. If they're standing in a pulpit on Sunday morning, they're being paid to read the Bible to you and to tell you what the Bible says, not to leave out the scriptures that might make you feel uncomfortable. I hope you feel uncomfortable. I always feel uncomfortable when I'm sinning and I'm doing the wrong thing. I hope that I always feel uncomfortable, because if I don't, then I know I'm really in trouble, because then God turns you over to a reprobate mind, and then you don't even know, you don't even care that you're doing the wrong thing anymore. You turned God off. You turned off your conscience. So don't let anybody talk to you like that. If they start talking to you like that, that's another reason to walk out the door and not come back. So this is another clip from Kenneth Hagin, and there is a series on YouTube. You can go there, and there's quite an extensive, he's got a 6-part series on there about his visions. And like I said, he had several books that he wrote about his encounters with Jesus and how, what Jesus told him when he talked to him. And of course, if anybody tells you that Jesus came and he appeared to them and he talked to them, and they're trying to draw attention to themselves. And what do they want you to think is, wow, they're special. They must have some inside information. Well, no, I don't want their inside information, because my Bible says that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He already came to earth once, and then there was a second coming. So I didn't know that he was coming like all these times to visit people, since my Bible says there's a second coming and not a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth and a seventh, for special people. Now, only special people get this. And then they tell you they're special. So don't buy it. But here's Kenneth Hagin.
My youngest brother, 9 years of age, was there by me because somebody was with me all the time. I was very low. 16th day of August, 1933, in McKinney, Texas, 32 miles north of Dallas, the temperature got to be 106 that day. We didn't have any air conditioning, you know, 1933. If you had anything, just a fan to blow a little air around, we didn't even have a fan. The doors and windows were open, and yet my body is so cold. The temperature about 3 o'clock in the afternoon reached its high peak at 106. About 1, it was already over 100, 101, 102, 103. And yet my body is so cold, they got me wrapped in blankets at 100 some odd degree weather. My body is so cold, they've got all the hot water bottles, even heated bricks, and wrapped them up, put around me, trying to warm me up. I knew I was dying. At 1:30, August the 16th, 1933, 1:30 in the afternoon, death came. Fastened itself upon me. I said to my little brother, run, get Mama quick, I want to tell her goodbye. He rushed out of the room. And when he rushed out of the room, the whole room lit up with the glory of God. The Bible said in the 9th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles that, or when Stephen was, the 7th chapter, when Stephen was stoned to death, he saw the glory of God and Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. If you'll go back to the Old Testament and study about the glory of God, it appeared many times as a cloud, white, bright, glistening, and so on. The whole room lit up with that bright light, brighter than the sun shining on snow. You know how dazzling it is. The whole room is filled with the glory of God. And I went up into that glory, left my body and ascended. I got up about where the top of the house should be. I looked back down in the room. I saw my body lying there on the bed, my eyes set, mouth open in death. I saw my mother stoop over me and take my hand in hers. And I heard a voice speak. I didn't see her. I heard a voice speak in the English language. I always thought it was Jesus because it was a man's voice. Said, go back! Go back! Go back to the earth! Your work is not done. And I descended. And I came back down into the room and I slipped back inside my body. And I said to Mama, she held my hand in her, Mama, I'm not going to die now. She thought I meant, I'm not going to die now this minute. I mean, I'm not going to die now, I'm going to live and do the work of God. Now, in relating that, I thought that was just a few seconds. Because, you see, you get over into eternity, there's no such thing as time. And for many years, I started out first as a Baptist board preacher, first church I pastored. At 18, I started pastoring. 19, I was Baptist. And I never told these experiences for a good many years. To me, they were too sacred to talk about. And after 15 years or so, the Lord began to say to me, tell them. And so I just began to do what he said do. So remember, before my mother went to be with the Lord at 80 years of age, she had never heard this. She had heard the other about going to hell. She said, she was listening to me as I was teaching on the radio. And I was teaching about really what it means to believe with the heart. And talking about the inward man and the outward man. To believe with the heart means to believe with your spirit, to that man on the inside, you see. And so in relating that, I just related this experience, you see. And so, the next time I was visiting my mother said to me, son, I never heard that before till I heard you on the radio giving that. But she said, there's more to that. And you know, let me tell you my side and Granny's side. She said, the way you tell it, you was up there in that glory maybe a few seconds, but she said it was over 10 minutes that you were gone. She said, Pat came running back to the kitchen and said, Mama, Mama, Granny, Granny, Ken's a dying, Ken's a dying. And I was near to the door out of the kitchen. I rushed up the hall and into the dining room and started into the bedroom, and you couldn't get into the bedroom. Now, see, I just said on the radio that I went up into this, the room lit up, but she said the room was full of something. You couldn't get in. The door is open. The door shutter's open. You can't get in. You can't see in. It's like a thick fog. And I sensed the presence of God, so I backed back by the dining room table and bowed my head to pray. Granny, she said, Mama, her mother, Mama, come running behind me. She didn't look. Mama said, Granny, about 70 years of age, now, an open door. Think about it. The door is open. The door shutter is open. She tried to run through that, bounced off of it like you'd bounce off of a rubber ball. And she backed up halfway across the dining room, made another run at it. Bounced off again. Backed all the way across the dining room. Backed up against the wall. Ran all across the room and couldn't get in through an open door. And then she almost was overcome, and so she hung on to the door facing and said, she said, well, Lily, I can't see. The room's filled with something like a fog or a white cloud. I can't see the bed. I can't see Kenneth. I can't see into the room. I can't get in there. Mama said, I said, we better just wait. She said, we stood there. An open door, and yet we can't see in the room for 10 minutes. And I stood there with my head bowed praying and said, finally, Granny said, Lily, it's lifting. The cloud's lifting. It's like a fog going away. I can see a little bit into the room. Then she could see a little bit more and could see a little bit more and said, we didn't dare go in till the last wisp was gone. They could see it with their physical eyes. Granny could. She stepped at the door. And when Mama said, it's all gone, Mama said, then I rushed into the room. Scooped over you, took your hand in mine, and you were gone.
That's Kenneth Hagin, you know, he's special. It sounds like something from out of the Twilight Zone, right? Now, what average person, wake up in the morning and I'm here in my house and all of a sudden the glory cloud comes in my house and it's in my room and my mother tries to get into my door and my granny, they try to get in, but they when they're trying to come through the door and the door to my bedroom is open and there's a glory cloud there and they bounce off the door the glory cloud. They don't bounce off the door because the door is open, but no, the glory is in his room and Kenneth is off someplace. He's off talking to Jesus, you know. And his mother and granny can't get in the room. They're bouncing off the glory cloud. Now, that's a tall tale. That's a tall tale. And he would have definitely could have made some episodes for the Twilight Zone with these tall tales he tells because. But these things don't happen in real life. They just don't happen. Jesus said it's a wicked and perverse generation that goes running around looking for a sign. You know, always looking for a sign. And we know God's real. We already know God's real. We already know Jesus is a miracle worker. We know that. We know that Jesus is alive, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But these people. They always try to draw attention to themselves with their tall tales, and none of this stuff happens to us, but it does happen to them. So they're special. But you can go onto some of these Bible concordances online. And you can see for yourself that there are quite a few scriptures about hell. So don't let people tell you that it's not in the Bible, it was never in the Bible. It's there. Hell's real. And Jesus talked about it. So if Jesus talked about it, I guess it's real. And let's look at a couple of scriptures here. Psalm 86:13, for great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Hallelujah. Psalm 116:3, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Some interesting scriptures on the adulterer. Now, these are some scary scriptures for anybody that's considering adultery. Proverbs 5:5, talking about the adulterous woman. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Proverbs 7:27, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Proverbs 9:18, and this talks about the man that falls for the adulterous woman, but he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Proverbs 15:11, hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? Proverbs 15:24, the way of life above is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Proverbs 23:14, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Proverbs 27:20, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Yeah. Isaiah 5:14, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Isaiah 14:9, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee. Even all the chief ones of the earth, it hath raised up their thrones, all the kings of the nations. So we know hell is real. And we know people don't get a second chance. This is the only, you only live once on this earth. You only get one chance to make it right. And most people in this country have heard the gospel one way or the other. And we all have Bibles. And it's very important for us to read our Bibles so that we're not deceived, because anybody can tell you anything. That was one of my great faults. Now, here I was a Bible teacher. I was out ministering, being invited to churches and to preach, and I was reading my Bible. I was. But yet I was missing things, because there were certain things that I would listen to people like Kenneth Hagin, and I would listen to people like Kenneth Copeland and the different Bible teachers, and I didn't take the time to really go into some things myself that I should have gone into. But when I did, then the Lord delivered me from these false teachers, and he can deliver anybody that's willing. So even though these people are out there, it is our responsibility to read our Bibles for ourselves and to find out what the Bible says. Because if you don't, somebody, some smooth talker will come along and they will deceive you. And they're out there. By the thousands, they're out there, these so-called preachers of the gospel, lying in wait to deceive and to get into your house via the television and pick your pocket. They're very good at it. They're very good at what they do, these deceivers. So we need to be diligent and watchful and also educated. Take that Bible and read it. And there's so much good information in there about how we should live our life and how we can maintain our peace and our joy in this wicked and perverse generation. If we ever needed the Lord Jesus, it's now. Amen. So I want to thank you all for stopping by today. Thank you so much, all my listeners and everybody in the chat room. And enjoy the football game today. We'll see what happens, right? So we will be back next week. And don't forget the website, propheticnews.com, and our YouTube channel, Susan Puzio. You'll see some good videos on there. And also, I'm still looking for somebody if you live in Orlando, because I'm trying to finish up my book, which is like a major project, believe me. And it's called Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. That's the name of the book. Finished. I'm just trying to clean it up, do some editing. But it's written, and it has a beautiful cover. I would like to have some more pictures. So if you live in Orlando or near the Orlando area, contact me at susan@propheticnews.com. If you could take some pictures for me, I would appreciate it. So God bless you. Don't forget the most important thing today is, are you born again? Jesus said in the third chapter of John that ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, but then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your life today. Believe that he was born of a virgin. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he's coming again. He died for your sins so you wouldn't have to die in them. The price has been paid. You don't have to pay any more of a price to receive salvation. The price has been paid. And also read the book of Romans, where the book of Romans says, confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. You must confess, and you must make the decision yourself. Nobody can make it for you. But Jesus is a Savior. He's a merciful Savior. No matter what you've done, God will forgive you, and he will forget about it when you repent and you ask his forgiveness. Those sins are washed away. God is a good God. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Hey, record. Here we go.
I'm going to a city to sit on a hill. His ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city. On a hill, and someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there.